her, and she's come to stay with grandmother or grandma and grandpa. I'm not sure, I didn't get that, but anyway, I know that's got to be an exciting time to get away. Both the grandparents and Zoe probably are having a great time. Is that right? Yeah, okay, I know. All right. Find your place in the book of Genesis. We've been talking about Joseph. Joseph being a type of Christ. And of course, we've seen first the message we talked about was that he was the beloved. And of course, his father loved him more than the others. He demonstrated that by the coat of many colors that he gave to him. And then Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. It was a type of death. And then he was from there, went to live with Potiphar, and God exalted him in that position. And we found out that the Lord was with him. I think at least three times, maybe four times in that section, it said that the Lord was with Joseph. And again, what an important part of a Christian's life is to have the beloved and that the Lord be with us. We want him with us everywhere we go. And so Joseph being sold into slavery, and then he was tempted and tried, just as Jesus was. And of course, Joseph, he fled, which the Bible teaches us we ought to do as well when we're tempted by sin. And he ended up in prison, another place, a dungeon, dark. And then God brought him out of that and put him in a position of authority. And that's where we're at this morning. As we look at the life of Joseph, we see how God works in a person's life. And the thing that I'm learning through this to study again is that God has a plan, and it's not always what I think it ought to be. It's not the direction that I would choose. But his steps, as the Bible teaches us, are ordered by the Lord. And he's given us those steps. The difficulty is for us to find out where they're at, to seek the Lord to know the direction he'd have us to go. And he can use us in any situation, any difficulty, any circumstance of life. As long as we're looking to him and trusting him, we'll be on that path. And it may not seem, like I say, the one that we would choose. And so we're going to find Joseph this morning as we look at him and we continue to look at, see how he is a type of Christ. Here, God has exalted Christ. We know that. Well, Joseph is going to be exalted this morning. And what we're going to see about Joseph is that he's a man of understanding and wisdom. He's the beloved. He's a man that the Lord was with. And he's a man of understanding and wisdom. How important is that? Let's go ahead and take your Bibles and I'll ask you to stand. In Genesis chapter 39 is where we'll begin in 41. 41 and verse 38 is where we're going to start this morning. Just read a few verses here. Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 38. If you can stand and find your place, please do so. Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. All right. And the Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a golden chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him a wife, Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for this man named Joseph, Father, and how you used him. How you've, no matter what circumstance of life that he's been in, he has shown himself to be one who has trusted you And Father, through that, he's given us the illustration and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph is not Jesus. There's only one Jesus. But Joseph is a man that loved you with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. It's evident in his life. It's evident in how you led him. And we see this story. This story is a story of redemption. It's not a redemption. It's not the redemption of the whole world, but it is a redemption of the children of Israel. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we study these things, to help us to glean much from it. Help us to draw near to thee, and help us to look to you and trust you for our lives. We thank you again. We thank you for this day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Let me grab this. Get a little dry here. So in this first few verses that we read this morning, we see Joseph has already come through many difficulties, many trials in his life. He was betrayed by his brethren, and you know that had to be a difficult situation. Can you imagine that your brothers would raise up against you and not want to sell you, but actually they wanted to kill him. They wanted to put him to death. But it was only because of his older brother Reuben that they put him in a pit. And then the Ishmaelites happened to come by, and they saw them and said, "Hey, let's sell him." And they did. And they concocted the story that an animal killed him when they took his coat and killed a kid and soaked it in blood and took it back to Jacob, their father. And through that, his life had many ups and downs. Everywhere he went, though, the Lord was with him. Whether he was on the mountaintop or in the valley, the Lord was with him. And he understood this. Now, we don't have a lot of details. We don't have the everyday conversations. God didn't give us all of that. He gave us the general outlook of his life and to see the story here. But nowhere in here does it ever say he complained, that he murmured and grumbled. And as you study the book of Genesis, or book of Exodus, I guess, and on through there, you see they grumbled a lot, the children of Israel did, and murmured a lot, many times. But we don't see that in Joseph's life. We see a man who looked to the Lord and trusted him for his life. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. Imagine a teenager, 17 years old, being ripped from your family by your family and sold into slavery. I wonder how that would feel. I wonder what the difficulties of life would be for him. But nonetheless, the Lord was with Joseph. And here in our chapter, we see that he has been lifted up out of the prison. He has now become the ruler of second in command, if you will, of all of Egypt. Not only over the land, but all the people, everything. They didn't need to come to Pharaoh. It was Joseph that they were coming to. And why was this? Well, God allowed him through the Spirit to have some dreams, and he interpreted those dreams, and God did that for him. We talked about those. There were six dreams that he actually interpreted. And through this, we see that he's being lifted up. In verse 8, again, 38, again, in verse chapter 41, it says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" How important it is that the Spirit of God is with him. And not only did Joseph know that in his life, but other people knew that in his life. Pharaoh knew that there was something special about Joseph. Just as I believe today, there's something special about Jesus and his followers. And so in verse 39 it says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this." Who's getting the glory in this? God is getting the glory. And Joseph is being blessed through this. He says, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet," that word discreet means understanding, "and wise as thou art." What a perfect time for Joseph to be in Egypt. So Pharaoh, he realized that this man was different, that there was something special about him, and so he put him in a position of authority. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." This morning, if we want wisdom and we want understanding, where do we need to go? We need to go to God. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Joseph was a man that the Lord was with, and it was evident in the fact that he had understanding and wisdom.
understanding is taking the knowledge and understanding what that knowledge is and then applying it in wisdom. And Joseph, when he dreamed or gave him the interpretation of those dreams, he gave him the wisdom that God had given to him that the difficulty was going to come. There were going to be 7 good years and 7 years of dearth or famine. And so he explained that to him, and through that, the Lord, God, lifted him up in Egypt and put him in a position that was a position of authority. Always remember when we study the Bible that Egypt is a type of the world. And it's amazing how things work and how God uses this to help us to look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world." As Joseph is here in Egypt, the type of the world, God sent Jesus into the world. Why? That we might live through Him. And that's exactly what's happening here. Because of Joseph being in this situation, these people might live through him. He is not Jesus. He is a type. And he, because of God leading him and putting him in this position, because he's walking the steps that God has ordered for him, he is in a position to save Egypt and all those around them, as we will see. He was only second to Pharaoh. In Proverbs 4, 7 through 8, we read this morning. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she shall promote thee." Through wisdom, God used Joseph, and he was promoted. And it says, "She shall bring thee honor when thou dost embrace her." We want to embrace wisdom. We want to get wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, where does wisdom come from? If any man lack wisdom, he can ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, that he giveth, that it shall be given. God wants us to have wisdom. And we can come to God and say, "Lord, please give me wisdom. Help me to have understanding." The world today is seeking wisdom. There is none out there. Very little wisdom. There's a lot of talk, a lot of rhetoric, but when you look out there, there's not a lot of people speaking and making a lot of sense. We're missing wisdom. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." It requires us to have humility to come to God and ask Him for anything. It requires us to submit to Him and trust Him in this and say, "Lord, I don't have this. I don't have this ability. I don't have this capability. I need Your help." I believe Joseph was that type of man. Joseph was given a new name, Zaphnath-Paneneah. He was 30 years old when this happened. This occurred in his life. And we know that there's some things here, that's just this little bit that we've seen. We see some more things that really typify Jesus. And that Jesus always followed God's plan. He was always looking to the Father. He's always doing the will of God. Jesus was wise. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." We know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that Jesus Christ will be given a special name. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 12 through 13 says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." We also know that Jesus is going to have a Gentile bride. That's what Joseph is. He went to the Gentiles. Those will include Jews as well, we know. So here we see, just in this first part, we see how God is using Joseph, how God is exalting Joseph, putting him in a position. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for those who want to follow. When he can find somebody who knows how to follow and to be guided by him, he's going to take that person and he's going to exalt them into a position. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be a deacon. It could be a pastor. It could be many other things outside of the church itself. But it requires that we learn how to follow before we can ever be a true leader. And Joseph was a follower, and he became a leader. But also, God encouraged Joseph. You know, if I was in this situation and I went through all these difficulties and I would have struggled, I would need some encouragement along the way. I'd need to know that God is there and God's with me. I can imagine that there were some difficult times, all the misery that could have been. Can you imagine? He could have gotten bitter. Would you have been bitter if your brothers and sisters sold you into slavery? It's been 13 years since he's been gone. Never a word from his family. That would be discouraging. Well, the Bible tells us the famine came just as Joseph shared with Pharaoh. Verse 47 says, in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. So we're getting the first 7 years. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Verse 49 says, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. So here we see that God's going to encourage him. Look what he says here, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And look why he called him Manasseh. He says, For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. There are times when we need to forget some things. There are times when we need to forgive some things as well. Why? So we can be used of God. If Joseph would have allowed this to eat at him, like there are people today, Christians included, that allow something said or done to them just to eat at them and gnaw at them, they lose the opportunities that God has set before him. But because of God working in Joseph's life, he has taken this away. Even though he toiled and even though he worked hard and he struggled through these years in some difficult positions, yet nonetheless, God led him through that. And God gave him the opportunity to forget those things. That's what Manasseh's name means, is to forget. So he was able to forget about all that. He was able to forget all about his father's house. You know, sometimes we think that might be a bad thing because we all like to go back and remember stuff. But some things we don't need to remember. As I said, I could imagine if I sit there and dwelled on what happened to me, I would be upset. And Hebrews 12:15 tells us, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. And it's through God working in his life and helping to forget these things that he was able to accomplish what God set for him before him and continue to do that. We as well need to understand that if there's bitterness in our heart, we're going to be stopped in our tracks. If there's something going on in our lives that we can't let go of, it's going to hurt us because God's going to put us aside. We won't be able to look at him. We won't be able to be focused on him because our focus will be somewhere else. But he also had a second son. The second was Ephraim. And it says, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, Ephraim's name means double fruit. He's talking about the blessings of God in his life, how God has led him and given him all these things, even though there were all the difficulties ahead. See, we don't know what another day will bring forth, the good or the bad. But if we walk and trust the Lord, he will always keep us on the right track. No matter what comes into our lives, we can always praise the Lord. We can always say God is good all the time, no matter what's going on. No matter how difficult it gets. You know, God wants to encourage us, and he does. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, be careful for nothing. And what he's talking is, don't be anxious. Don't get worried about things. There's a lot of things that go on in our lives today. We're very busy people, no doubt. And there's only 24 hours in a day, and most of us could use probably 26 or 28 or more, I don't know. Or at least we think we need that much. But he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, he said, let your requests be made known unto God. So here's where we turn to when we're in this trouble, this difficult situation. I don't know. It doesn't tell us in the Bible. It doesn't show us how many times Joseph went to the Lord. I imagine that he prayed often. I imagine he talked to the Lord often. Why? Because the Lord was with him. That's one of the things God wants in our lives, is to have communion with Him, to be talking to Him and speaking to Him, Him to us. How important it is to go to God and let Him know our problems. He knows them, but He wants us to realize that we can trust Him for these problems. And when we go to Him, that's what we're doing. We're submitting to Him in the problem. He goes on and says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Joseph was able to focus on the things of the Lord because the Lord allowed this in his life. And he was encouraged with these two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. And there is a double portion here, because when we get on and study the books, we find out that Manasseh and Ephraim take part and get part of the land as well, separated. And that's amazing. The Levites don't. They get the leftovers, I guess. Really, not. That's not true, but... So anyway, we see that Joseph never lost sight of his father. So then, look at verse 53. It says, and the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. The 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Again, because of Joseph. A type of redemption, if you will. And all the land of Egypt was famished. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, that he saith to you. Think about that. Another type of Christ. You see, we cry out to God, don't we? We cry out to God, and what does God do? He tells us to go to Jesus. How else can we have a relationship with God without going to Jesus? That's the only place that relationship comes from. It's through Jesus Christ. We know the passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God says, go to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Him, and I will deliver you. Pharaoh told them to go to Joseph. He could deliver them. Verse 56, and the famine was all over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. So this famine reached out far and wide. It was a difficult situation, a difficult time in a lot of people's lives. But yet God had prepared Egypt for this very situation. And He prepared by sending Joseph. Joseph was the one. And so here we see that God is going to enable Joseph. He's going to enable him to do what? To test his brothers. This is an amazing story of redemption as well. We're not going to get to all of it. We're not going to get to chapter 50 today. But as we look at this in the first part of this situation, we see that there's amazing things that happen, that God is using this very thing. And we can see it from the very beginning, because it points right back to when Joseph began to have his dreams. In chapter 42, it says, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us that thence, that we may live and not die. Very important, isn't it? And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over all the land. And it was that sold to all people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. So again, we see God's plan coming to fruition. Remember the dreams that Joseph told. He told two. The first one was that his sheaf and their sheaves were in the field, and his sheaf stood up straight and theirs bowed down. Well, here are 10 of his brothers, and they have come to him, and now they are bowing down to Joseph. They don't know who this is. The Bible says he spoke strange to them. Well, he was speaking through an interpreter. He was not speaking the Hebrew language at that time. We know that in verse 23, it tells us. And so, but he also treated them rough. Gave them a hard time, if you will, a little bit. And so he's sitting there, and he's talking to them, and he's asking these questions. He doesn't trust them, does he? Would you trust your brethren that came, the ones who sold you into slavery? Greg, you wouldn't trust them, would you? No, you wouldn't. You'd be hesitant to even deal with them, right? But God has a plan. Joseph remembered the dream. It says in verse 9, Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies. I would think they were spies too, possibly. Come to check out the land to see if there's something going on here. Maybe they can come in and take over something. He says three times that they're spies. And they said, no, we're true men. Words don't count for much when your actions speak otherwise. Isn't that true? Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so Joseph's hesitant about his brethren. He doesn't really trust them. He doesn't believe that what they say is true. When Jesus came back, the brethren received him not. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They rejected Jesus. These guys had rejected Joseph early on. Now Joseph was dealing with them. And verse 15 says, hereby ye shall be proved. Every one of us are being proved today. You say, how are we being proved? Well, the Bible teaches us, Jesus said these words, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to encourage you to go through and read the Old Testament. Read it carefully. Because the Old Testament shows the character of God and the dealings with the children of Israel. The same God who hated sin then hates sin today. We are so grateful that we don't have to go through all the rituals, all the feasts, and all the difficulties they had too. Why is that? Because Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled all the law. And that's why we don't have to do all the things that they had to do. But the God that dealt with them is the same God that deals with us today. The same God. So here he's going to prove them. He's going to test them. He wanted to know if they were true men. That's why the Bible teaches us that we're to study the Scripture, to read the Bible, to confirm and prove in our own lives that we're saved and that we're trusting God for our lives. That's why we read the Bible and study it, to know more about Christ and to know more about ourselves. So Joseph comes up with a plan. He says, by the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. Now he put them all together into ward 3 days. So here they are in prison, they're for 3 days, and they're sitting down thinking about these things, and God is starting to work. God is starting to do something. He is starting to work in Joseph's life, and he's starting to work in the brothers' lives. That's amazing to me. God still works. God still lives, and he still wants to do something with all of us. Look at verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live. For I fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God has spoken to Joseph. Joseph had a plan. He was going to send one of the brothers back and keep the 9. God said, no, let's do it differently. Let's send 9 of them back and keep 1. Amazing, isn't it? How God can take, and when we're seeking His face, He can change the plan for us and help us to understand. I don't know why He did it that way. Maybe because as Joseph was praying about these things and God was leading him, maybe he realized, well, they still need the food. 9 brothers could bring back more food than 1. Maybe he thought that if it was only if nine of them left, then they'd come get them for sure. But maybe if they left one, maybe they would forget about him like they did Joseph. He was testing their hearts. He was testing if they were true to the things that they were saying they were. And so he told them in verse 19, "If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. Now, here God has worked in their lives, or his life. But then look at verse 21. God is working in these brothers' lives, these 10 brothers. Verse 21 says, "And he said," and they said one to another, "We are very guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." They realize the chastening hand of God in their lives. Maybe they, for 17 years, haven't thought about this, or 20 years now. It was 13, 20. 20 years. Maybe they haven't thought about this at all. You know, you can never get away from your sin. It will always be there. And a lot of times Christians don't want to be in the Bible, or they don't want to come to church or those things. Why? Because they don't want to be confronted with sin, their sin. It's easier to go out and live and be away from the church and be away from the messages in the Bible and stay away from those things. That way you're not convicted. And you can live like you want to, you think. But there will come a time, a reckoning. Here these brothers are starting to see that. In verse 22, "And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not Joseph, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter." So here we see that God is working in these lives, and they're not come to fruition. It's not completed yet, and it won't be completed until later on. But he's starting to stir their hearts. He's starting to get them to think on the things that they have done that were wrong. Every one of us has to come to the knowledge that we are sinners. We have to know and be able to put a stamp on what it is we did. It's a general thing to be a sinner. We can all say, "I'm a sinner." Well, how do you know you're a sinner? What have you done that has caused a sin against God? And when you can put your finger on that, then you can own up to the fact you're a sinner. When you know that you blasphemed the name of God, then you can say, "I have blasphemed the name of God. Please forgive me." If you've known you've committed adultery, you can say, "Lord, I've committed adultery. Please forgive me." But until you come to God that way, you won't have forgiveness. If you come to God and say, "Oh, please forgive me all my sin," you don't even know what your sin is. What is it? Everybody has their own sin to bear, their own baggage in their life. I have mine and you have yours. And we come to God, we want to confess that sin. Ask God to forgive us for that sin. These men have understood that they have committed a sin against their brother Joseph, a trespass. And now they're concerned that Benjamin is going to be taken away. And this they knew would break their father's heart. This would destroy Jacob. In fact, Jacob says so. Very difficult. But then Joseph gave orders to take and give them all this corn. And he said, also put the money in their sacks. The money they brought to pay for the corn. And so they took off. And when they went off, they opened up their sacks because they needed to feed their camels. And so they opened up their sacks to give them some corn. They called it provender or whatever, provisions. And they opened up sack. Oh, the gold's there. All the money's there. Now, what are we going to do now? Man, if we go back, I don't know. We're thieves. We're dead. Let's go on home. They went home and they told Jacob all that happened. They knew that this was a judgment of God on them. In fact, they said that in verse 28, and he says, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" God's chastening hand upon their lives. God's chastening those he loves. These are the children of Israel. So they told Jacob all that had been done, and they told him, says, we got to take back Benjamin with us. And Reuben stood up and says, hey, you can slay my two sons if I don't bring him back. Boy, that's a statement. You can take my two sons if I don't bring Benjamin back with us from Egypt. Of course, Jacob said, no, I can't do that. He said, this would be terrible in my life. He said in verse 38 of chapter 42, and he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. But as time goes on, this provender, this corn, this supply that they got from Egypt was disappearing or was being eaten. The famine waxed worse, it says in verse 1 of chapter 43, was sore in the land. Verse 2, it says, it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little corn. And Judah, he knew that this wasn't going to happen. He went to him and says, Dad, I don't know if he said Dad or not, but he said, we got to take Benjamin with us. For the man said, if we don't bring Benjamin back with us, then he's not going to give us anything. And so Jacob, he's thinking about this. He doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want it. But Judah says to him in verse 9, he says, I will be surety for him. In other words, take my life if I don't bring Benjamin back. Isn't this interesting? They sold Joseph into slavery. They forgot about it for 20 years. God orchestrated a famine to bring them back that Joseph could redeem them from this situation. But before they can be redeemed, what do they got to do? They're going to have to get right with God and Joseph. Before we can be redeemed, we have to get right with God. How do we get right with God? We confess our sins. Repent of our sins. So he's working in the lives of these men. They don't even know what's going on. God orchestrated this thing. It's a big thing. It's taken years to do. It's not like in our society today. We want it now. Right now. Instant. That's why I go to McDonald's. I want that burger now. You know how many times I drive and I'm getting hungry and stuff and I'm thinking, man, I could just pull in here and I could get what I want right now. The Lord says, stay away from here, it'll kill you. For me, it's not good, for sure. If you want to eat it, you can. I've had my share already, by the way. I've supported them for years and years. The Bible teaches us in Numbers 32:23, it says, ye have sinned against the Lord and be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't go away. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. It's there always, always, always. Until you give it to the Lord and confess it as sin. So here they are. They're trying to convince the father. Finally they do. He relents in verse 11. It says, their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, the man is Joseph, a little balm and a little honey and spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks carried again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Please, Lord, let it be an oversight. And then he says, verse 13, he didn't say, take also my son, Benjamin. He said, take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. Isn't this interesting? So here we see that Joseph realizes there's no other choice, there's no other way. And of course, God has orchestrated this whole thing and the famine kept going and going. I believe the famine was there for the purpose of bringing these folks to the Lord, bringing them back to redemption, to the things of God, to have them to confess their sin and get right with God. A wonderful illustration of Jesus Christ. So Joseph is going to prepare to receive them. Look at verse 15. It says, and the men took the present, or that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And so here he saw them. They had a presence with Joseph. And I can't even imagine how difficult that would have been at that particular time. I am sure that Joseph had many people working for him, taking care of business and dealing with the food and stuff. He wasn't the only one, probably. He was in charge of it, but he had probably many people helping him. And yet these guys come up and show up and they get an audience with Joseph. Not once, but twice. Again, if we think about that and think of the realm and the understanding of all this, and maybe they asked for Joseph, who knows? But nonetheless, they're there. And they're scared to death. I mean, I would be too. This ruler, who I don't know, who's an Egyptian, he's taking me to his house, and he knows that he doesn't have the money. And he's already told us that we were spies. Three times he said that. And we told him, no, we're true men. Do true men steal? They were scared. I would be too. And as soon as they could talk to somebody, which they did, the steward, verse 19, they came near to the steward of Joseph's house and they communed with him at the door of the house and listened to him and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. I'm adding the inflection. It came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand. Well, they were nervous. They're telling the steward, hey, man, hey, we don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be killed. We didn't do this. And verse 22, they said, other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell you who put our money in our sacks. Now, listen to this next verse. What a wonderful thing. Verse 23, and he said, peace be to you, fear not. This morning, God might be saying to you, peace be to you, fear not. Maybe you have a difficult situation. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe there's something coming up in your life and there's that hint or glimmer of fear in there. You're wondering what's going to happen. Fear is always the opposite of trust. And that's why this servant's telling them, he says, peace be to you, fear not. He says, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. And listen to what he said. I had your money. He's telling them that he put the money back in the sacks. Now, obviously, Joseph would have had to tell him to do that. I'm sure the steward wouldn't just do that, right? And to know that there's a God, the only way he could really truly know the God was through Joseph. Joseph had a testimony. In the place that he lived and the people he was around, he had the testimony that God was with him. Is that our testimony? Is that the way we're trying to live? Is that God is with us wherever I'm at? That was his testimony. So they presented the gifts. They cleaned themselves up. And then Joseph, again, he saw that dream or remembered it. Verse 29 says, he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph had to take off. He said, it made haste. For his bowels, his most inner being, his heart yearned upon his brother. And he went, and then what did he do? He wept. He was weeping for the fact that his brother was there and he hadn't seen him in 20 years. This is the brother of his mother. It's not the brother of another mother. And here he is. He's overtaken with compassion. Who do we know that's overtaken with compassion? Jesus Christ. When he sees and looks down into this world and he sees the people of this world, his heart is broken over these people. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. There's nothing else needs to be done other than understanding what Jesus Christ has done and receiving him. Joseph is in the position to receive his brethren. They're coming to his house. But it's not a complete reception. So he washed his face in verse 31 and he set on bread, that says. In verse 32, they had three tables there. They had one for Joseph. Remember, they think he's an Egyptian. They have one for the brothers, the 10 brothers. And they have, 11 brothers. And they have one for the Egyptians. There's three different tables in this setting. And Joseph was in the same room, obviously, with them. In verse 33, it says, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. In other words, how could anybody know our ages? How could anybody know who's the oldest, who's the youngest, or whatever? It says, and they took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times. Five times. So much as any of theirs. It says, and they drank and were merry and with him. So here was a meal. This is a meal that they came to and they were being treated. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not even a type of the Lord's Supper at this point. It's the beginning of a new relationship, though. It's a beginning of understanding. It's just like when we start to understand who Jesus Christ is. We understand that we are lost in our sins. See, they've already went through some of this. They're already understanding that they've made some wrong choices and they did something that was very wrong and they were guilty. They admitted the fact that they were guilty amongst themselves. I can tell you I'm guilty of sin, that I have committed this and I've committed that. That's not good enough because I have to tell God. He knows already. But I need to tell him. Because once I tell him, then I'm free from that. I can confess that sin, repent of that sin, turn from that sin, and I can ask Jesus Christ to save me and put my faith and trust in him. That hasn't come yet in this story, but it's on that direction. What is the purpose of all this? God is using a man. A long, long time ago, 6,000 years around or somewhere in there, maybe 5,000, 4,000. He's using this man that we can go study the Bible and it can point us directly to Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to know today is who is Jesus? Why did he come? Why was Joseph sent through this terrible path? And Jesus didn't have a wonderful life by any means. They were out to kill him all the time. The Pharisees, who? His brethren, wanted to destroy his life. He was sold. It was a Gentile that took him to the cross and hung him on that cross. And he died and he rose again. And he lives today. Why? That we may live too. And that's why this story of Joseph is so important and spans so many chapters in Genesis. Is that we might know Jesus. And that's the most important thing this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you realized you were lost? You know, you have to be drawn by the Spirit. The Spirit has to be speaking to you. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He's already done his part. And the Spirit of God is working. But is he drawing? Is he speaking to you individually this morning? If he is, this is the opportunity. Because he may not speak tomorrow, and he may not speak next Sunday. There comes a time when he says, enough is enough. Today is the day of salvation, if you'll only put your faith and trust in Jesus. There may be some in here that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. Don't make the mistake of thinking, I can wait till later. Because we don't know what another day will bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen. We were reading or we're praying for people right now. Bobby, terrible wreck. Could have been his life. May still be. I don't know. I'm praying. There are others as well that are in dire situations. We don't know. And if we don't do what God leads us to do today, if we're drawn to that, we are saying to God, I don't need you. I don't care about you. Leave me alone. Now, I hope he never leaves you alone, but he could. When I got saved on October 26, 1992, I knew in my heart of hearts that night, because I've heard the gospel so many times, I knew that night if I left that building without accepting Christ as my Savior and I was to die, that I'd go to hell. And that was my last chance. That's in my mind. That's the way, as the Spirit was speaking to me, he said, Bruce, you've heard this. This is it. What are you going to do? And I was in church for 3 years. I was serving in every ministry of the church. And I had a lot of pride. And that night, I let go of the pride and I accepted Christ as my Savior. It changed my life, literally. This morning, maybe there's some of you here that you're not living the life Christ has called you to live. You're not looking for the steps he has for you. Well, it begins with the fear of the Lord, because we need the wisdom. That's where we're going to find out where we're supposed to go. You get the knowledge, studying the Word of God. You get understanding through the Spirit of God that speaks to you about the knowledge of the Word of God. And then you apply it in your lives and you have wisdom that God will lead you all your life if you'll trust Him. Joseph was a man of wisdom. He's a man of understanding. Why? Because the Lord was with him. I want the Lord to be with me. I want to have wisdom. I just started, after this message, I've been praying for wisdom. Wisdom that God would lead me in every direction of my life. I'm praying for wisdom for each one of you as well. Because I want to see God bless us. Because He will. If we'll find the steps that He has ordered for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God this morning. I thank you for the man of Joseph. I thank you for how you speak to hearts. Father, as we saw, Joseph for 3 days, he got apart. And he came back with a different plan. Why? Because you gave him the plan. The plan that you wanted him to pursue. Father, so many times I make my mind up about what I need to do and how I need to do it without consulting you. Father, help us all realize that it's important to look to you and trust you in these matters, that we might consult you first and that we know that you're going to lead us and guide us in the right direction. Father, I pray for someone here this morning that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Today could be the day of salvation. Please don't let them leave here if you've spoken to them, rejecting you, for this may be the last chance they have. Father, for the rest of us who are saved and born again, we seek your face and we want wisdom, we want knowledge and understanding that you might guide and lead us, and we'll thank you for that as you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.